So I want to start off by saying that this isn't a preach. This isn't a sermon. It's a message. It's a prophetic message. And it's not something that you can just record and then tell your friends, hey, go listen to this cool teaching that Ian did on whatever. Because it's not for them. It's for you. It's for every single person here. And I'm going to try to stay out of the way and let God speak. But there's a weightiness to what God is wanting to say this morning. And so if you're somebody who takes notes and you want to give it a title, the title is Distraction Leads to Death. It's a bit of a weighty title to start with. And it's not going to get better from there. So a couple of days ago, I was driving somewhere and I witnessed a car accident. And I was trying to cross a road, and there were some cars in front of me that were waiting to turn as well. And so we were doing the right thing. We were waiting and we were waiting, and the light was green, so we had to wait because the cars were coming. And then the light changed. It went orange and we waited. It went red and we waited. And we waited for the cars on the other side of the road to stop before we drove. And once the cars in front could see that the other cars were slowing down and stopping, they started to drive. And as they were crossing, as that car was crossing the road, out of nowhere, a motorcycle decided it wasn't their turn to stop. And he just kept on going. And he drove straight into that car. And I was, I think, two cars behind the car in front that got hit. The car didn't hit the bike. The bike hit the car. The car was basically not moving. And from where I was, I could see the shrapnel flying. And I can tell this story because I saw the rider of the bike afterwards, and he was fine. Supernaturally fine, I would say. But he flew and he slid and he landed up on the other side of the road. And it disturbed me. It was such a disturbing image. And the thing that disturbed me the most, though, was when I saw the driver's face, who had done nothing wrong. And there was this distraught, they came running to see if they could help. And the reality is, there are people here this morning riding that bike. And God is putting up the signs. He's putting up the signs, and you're not looking because you're distracted. Because you're distracted by the things of this world. You're distracted by the things of your own preference. And distraction doesn't lead to good things. And I'll get to that scripture later. But this message I'm going to share this morning, maybe it'll help you. Let me share a little bit of what happened to me last week. I had a similar situation to Jane. So Grant was up here, I was sitting over there. And as Grant was speaking, I kept on feeling like I was going to fall asleep. There was this heaviness that was weighing on me. And I'm sharing this with you because there are people sitting here today where you are feeling a heaviness weighing on you. And you've got so used to it, you don't even notice it anymore. And there's this heaviness that was weighing on me. And do you know what the freedom was? Do you know how I got away from that heaviness? I started praying in tongues. So if you're here this morning and you start to feel something rising up inside of you, if you start to feel something uncomfortable, if you start to, don't go running to a leader. Don't go, okay, I'll go sort that out later. Now in this moment, because this isn't a sermon with 5 points that you need to take notes of. This is God speaking. So if God starts speaking to you right now, listen, respond. And if you don't know what to say, pray in tongues. But I was sitting there and I'm praying in tongues, and literally every time I stopped praying in tongues, I started feeling sleepy again. And then I'd start praying in tongues again. I went and listened to Grant's sermon 2 days later. I remember maybe half of what he said. That's how occupied my mind was with the battle that God was doing. And immediately out of that, I didn't have to wait for Grant to like suck out of the air, "Ian, you need to repent of this and you need to repent of that." God was already telling me what to repent of. And so I ran through a little laundry list with God, because none of us are perfect. Anybody sitting here that goes, "But I'm clean before the Lord. I've got nothing." You've got a lot. Because first of all, you've got deception. Because none of us, Scripture says, none of us are perfect. Only Jesus. And that's a safe thing. Because imagine if we had to be perfect. We don't have to. And so I want to ask you, as we go, and I honestly, I've got notes, but I don't know where God's going. But as we go, if God starts speaking, respond. So a little recap of what Grant was sharing. Our identity, our victory, because we have victory. We are not victims. The enemy loves to tell us that we're victims. We're not victims. Our victory, we get to share it in Christ. That's where the praying comes from. And Grant said, we're here to pick a fight. We're here to win the fight. But what he said was repentance. Our primary weapon is not a super saint who can lay on hands. It's not. Our weapon is Jesus. It's his truth. And that comes through repentance. So even as you're sitting here this morning, if there's something that you can't get out of your mind, repent. Get rid of it. Or let him get rid of it, even better. Because Grant was telling us that distraction, it's like he had this picture of a weed. And anybody who has done any gardening, you know when you pull that weed out, it's like this small on the top, and then underneath, it's this whole network of mess. And then Grant called us out. And he said, we're tolerant. Can I tell you something? Jesus is not tolerant. Jesus is merciful. That's why he puts up with us. When we stub our toe and we make mistakes and we do what we do, he calls us back over and over because he is merciful. Tolerance is when you take something on and you think it's okay. And God is not tolerant. And this morning, there are people here, I dare say all of us, there's something in your life that you're tolerating. And then you might say, like Anton was saying, "Yeah, but it's not my fault, it's just who I am." It's not true, because you're not a victim. Because if you were to say that, then you're a victim. If God were to agree with you, then he would call you a victim, and God doesn't call you a victim. Otherwise, going to the cross was a waste of time. But he's calling us to victory. But to be victorious, we have to stop tolerating. We have to stop accepting the way things are if they're not the way things Jesus wants them to be. And then Grant said this, our inheritance, yours and mine, our inheritance is to break generational patterns. So you might even be sitting here going, "Yeah, but it's not my fault. It's what my parents did. It's what they did to me. It's what they didn't do for me." Are we being victims again? We're not victims. So if you want to walk in your inheritance, you've got to stop tolerating those thoughts that are making you act not like Jesus.
So Ian just asked me to share a word that I shared probably 2 weeks before Grant came. So I'm just going to read it. The last couple of weeks, I've been so aware that we have a very real and fierce enemy who wants to take us out. Every moment of every day, he is looking for a gap to get into our hearts, our minds, and before we know it, he's gained territory. This is war. As real as any war happening on the planet right now, and you and I are the enemy's target. So we must learn and we must position ourselves to fight, or else we will be overrun. Not fighting in our own strength, of course, fighting from a place of victory, what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross when he dealt the enemy the final blow. But we must take up our divine weapons and fight to gain and to keep what is ours in Christ: freedom, peace, joy, his promises over our lives. And we must fight for what is our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not going to come through passive or inactive faith. If we're in the faith, but not in the fight, our faith might not stand. So time for some of us to get up and put on the boxing gloves.
Whether we liked it or not, Grant picked a fight last week on our behalf. And now we get to choose, do we pick this fight with him? And I felt this picture, I saw this picture of the army lines being drawn up. And on the one side, I was trying to work out which way to do this because I don't want to imply it to you guys. But on the one side, you've got Jesus and his army. And on the other side, again, not implying you guys, on the other side, you've got Satan and his army. And he has an army. He has a very real army. Some of them are demons. Some of them are human. But the Bible talks very clearly and it says you have to choose where you're going to stand. And on this side, you got Jesus. And Jesus comes and he says, I come to set the captives free. And then you've got the devil on this side. And he doesn't say it because he's deceptive. So Jesus says it on his behalf. I come to kill, steal, and destroy. You've got Jesus on this side and he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I'm preparing a place for each one of you. And then you got the devil on this side. And he was bold enough to say it to Jesus, whatever your eyes can see can be your kingdom. What he doesn't tell you is that whatever your eyes can see are going to burn away one day. Because that's the truth. This world is temporary. The things of this world are temporary. So we have to choose. And you might say, but Ian, I'm a Christian. I come to church on Sunday. I go to community on Wednesday. I even pray other days beyond those two. You know, I've even read my Bible recently. I even prayed for somebody. You know what? In my life, I've seen people raised from the dead, and I've prayed for people and they've been healed. I've seen all kinds of miracles. That might be true. But if there's something left, if there's a root left of the enemy, that thing, no matter what your past says, if you embrace that small root and you focus on that destruction, that thing can override everything else. You don't believe me? Take a garden and stop weeding it. And give it 6 months. The weeds will take over. Because it's not about how well it was maintained. It's how close we remain to Jesus. And like Anton was saying, it's not our work. We're not the weeder. We're the garden. We always think like, I'm the guy. No, we're the thing lying there. Okay? But you've got to be available. That's the key. And so I want to say this. There are some here this morning that will miss what God has for them. Not might. Will. Unless there's repentance. There's some of us here that have bought into things that are going to shipwreck your faith. And there's a weightiness. Nobody wants to miss out. Like Nadine was talking about the ladies' meeting earlier, like, we don't want to miss out on the things of God. We don't want to miss out on eternity with God. We don't want to miss out on limitless rewards in heaven. We don't want to, but we might. The choice is ours. And so this morning, you're sitting here and just let God sift through you. Work through you, work through your thoughts, work through your behaviors, work through the things that you've tolerated. Let him show you how serious they are so that he can remove them. Because as much as I want to say some of us will miss out, Jesus says, I don't want one to miss. I don't want one to miss. And who knows? God's in control. God's all powerful. God created everything by his word. God is amazing. All he's doing is waiting for you. He's just waiting. I was reading, and it's not in my notes, so don't worry, but I was reading Isaiah recently. And in Isaiah 64, he's crying out to the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, won't you save us? Please, won't you save us? And in Isaiah 65, God replies and says, I've been here the whole time. I'm just waiting for you to come to me. You don't have to do anything. You just have to come to me. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it right. You just have to come to me. And if you do, I'll sort it all out because I'm your dad. So this is Ian speaking now. I don't want one of you to miss out on what God has for you. That's God's heart for you. That's my heart for all of us. But to do that, we've got to break off. Can you put up James 1? Sitting here this morning, you might be struggling with this. And James writes and he says, they can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. If that applies to anything in your life, that's your battleground. That's your battleground. In the translation I've got, it's the same translation, just slightly different, but it says, they're unstable. And so I'm going to read through a few things. This is not exhaustive, but this is to stir up. These are some of the things that God's been speaking to me about. And if this applies to you, just let it go. Give it to God. But these are some of the symptoms. Some of us are struggling with doubt and confusion. We're double-minded. We're flip-flopping. Maybe you're feeling foggy, like you can't think through things. You can't make decisions. You're stuck. There's freedom. Some of you are struggling because there's fear. There's anxiety. Maybe it's physical fear. Maybe it's mental fear. Maybe it's the worry of what's going to come tomorrow. Maybe you're sitting in a situation where things are so hard right now, you just don't understand even how God could solve it. I saw a picture recently of my kids and they were tiny. And I look at them now and I'm like, oh, they're so cute. I remember with such joy those days back then. Back then, they did not feel cute to me. That was a lot of work and not a lot of sleep. But that was my perspective then. My perspective now is I zoom out and I see how they've grown up, how they love God. And it's totally different. And I bring that up because that's how God looks down on our situation today. You don't have the luxury of being able to step out of yourself and look at the problem and get God. He has the perspective. So if there's fear, if there's anxiety, in a moment it's gone. Because the Bible says, in my presence is fullness of joy. I live by that scripture because life isn't easy. Even as elders, we don't have it all together. We don't. So we got to hold on to Jesus. So when I'm feeling those things, I'm sitting at my laptop at work and my boss is asking me to do things that I don't know if I can do or not. Like literally, I don't know how to do it. And I start to panic. And these thoughts come into my mind. She's found you out. You're going to get fired. And my response is, Jesus, I need you. Not, I need to go study. I need to find Jesus. So on goes the worship music. Fortunately, that's at home, so. Some of us, and this is some of the things that Grant brought up, some of us are struggling with hope. It's similar to anxiety. But there's only one hope in the Bible, and that's Jesus. So if you're struggling with hope, it's because you're looking at the wrong thing. Some of us are struggling with poverty mindset. Grant said this as a one-liner. It's not a one-liner in God's eyes. Some of you sitting here will not walk in the things of God until you've repented of taking on the identity of poverty. And it's just my life, and it's what's happened to me, and it's not my fault, and this was done to me by others. It's not the truth. Because we have a God, and God describes himself as the one who has a cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't know what he would call it now, but it's a lot. There are some of us here that are struggling with divisiveness. And divisiveness, as soon as you say divisiveness, you'll be like, no, but I'm not looking to hurt the church. I'm not looking to break things up. I'm not. Divisiveness is if you're listening to me right now and you're picking holes in what I'm saying. Divisiveness is if you're sitting here right now and you're disagreeing with how we did things. Divisiveness is when you're in worship and you're like, why aren't they singing my favorite song? Divisiveness is when we're disagreeing with what's happening, what the leaders are doing. Divisiveness is also picking up an offense. And we can even say the Christianese thing of, but I love them. Out loud, inside, I'm not so happy. They've offended me. They've hurt me. They forgot my birthday. Then there's some other ones. They're actual distractions. My kids, my career, having fun. You'd be like, no, but come on, Ian, you're taking it too far. Surely having fun isn't a distraction. It doesn't have to be. But if you let it consume who you need to be. Here's one I felt earlier. My life is so hard, I feel constantly tired, and I'm looking for the next fun experience. That's an idol. So if you're chasing fun, I'll do my job, I'll go to church, I'll do whatever I need to do, But I live for that game of padel. I started with that one to go soft. What about my game of soccer? Where's my identity? Or even supporting, it's even worse. But sport can be a distraction if it's not put in its proper place. Health, exercise. I've had times when I've got so consumed with my own health that running became an idol, became a distraction. And then I have to put it in its place, or rightly ask Jesus to put it in its place. And then the last one in these symptoms is disobedience. And disobedience is when you know better. This is the one when God has already convicted you, but you keep on going back, week in, week out. And there's some ugly ones here. But I have to say what God has put on my heart. So I'm hopefully not going to offend anybody. But if this is you, you've got to take it to Jesus. But for some of us here, unforgiveness. We're being disobedient. We know we should be forgiving people, but we're just holding on to the pain rather because it's easier. And linked to that is anger. Some of us are way more easily frustrated than we should be. It's a constant trigger. We're a little bit of a hair trigger. Somebody says the wrong thing, and off we fire. I'm going to call out another one. Drugs. And for most of us, it'll be like, what are you talking about, Ian? No ways. Drugs. If you're dabbling in drugs, God knows, and it's not okay. Alcohol. Alcohol's not bad, but if you're stuck to it, if you're drinking more than you should, if alcohol is the route to relaxation, not necessarily even drunkenness, but drunkenness is definitely off the table. Smoking. Doesn't matter how often, but if it's not of God, it's tolerance. And we're not called to be tolerant. Purity. That might be, and I'll say it, pornography. We've been there before. I'll say another one though. Some people are sleeping with their partners outside of marriage. And it's not okay. Or taking it too far. God has very clear lines on purity and what He's calling us to. And so, if you're stuck, I'm doing the things, what does Paul say? I'm doing the things that I don't want to do, and I'm not doing the things that I want to do. The problem is, you can't solve it. He can. But in order for Him to solve it, you have to go to Him. That's repentance. So if you're stuck in these things, any of these things, all of these things, that's okay. We're not here to judge. We're here to help. We're here to love. We're here to support. We're here to be with you as you seek the Lord. But you've got to bring it to Him. You've got to bring it to Him. I can't want it on your behalf. Can we put up Isaiah? good. This is God talking to us. And yes, it's in the Old Testament, but it still applies. And he's saying, "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have turned against me." And that's us. If we're stuck in our sin, if we're stuck in tolerating things that are not of Him, we're choosing that side instead of choosing Jesus. We're turning away from Him. And then he says later on in verse 18, he says, "Now come, let us argue this out." Now God is a loving God, but He doesn't tolerate stubborn mindedness. So he will sit there and he will say, "You say you're stuck. I say you're not stuck. Let's argue it out. You say it's okay to do that. I say it's not okay to do that. Let's argue that out. Because I love you enough to wrestle with you." That's what he's calling. And he says, "Come, let us argue this out. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you're stained as red as scarlet, I can make you as white as wool." So a little bit more. Here's the catch. "If you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. But if you keep turning away and refusing to listen, you will be destroyed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken." There's a calling out that God is doing because He loves you, because He wants to be with you. And the question is, who wants to be with Him? "Just turn to me.